His eyes scanned the rows of young women sitting alongside Catherine's makeshift bed. Not all of them, he added pointedly. Marvel nodded. He allowed the women to be questioned, though the girls were not permitted to testify directly about their own conditions. As Charlotte stood up to give evidence, Pearl helped her to slip her grey coat from her shoulders. Underneath, she was wearing a green blouse with a fussy white collar. Its sleeve hung limply, revealing her amputated arm. She came to the table to take the oath. Then she, too, twirled the brush in her mouth, showing her missing teeth as she did so. She testified calmly as the anxious eyes of her friends followed her evidence. One girl's eyes filled with tears as Charlotte talked. "Were you employed?" Grossman asked her. "At the Radium Dial Company when Catherine Donahue was employed there, in the same room?" "Yes, sir," said Charlotte. Her stronger speech was in direct contrast with the strained whisper that had been all Catherine could manage. "Did you have your left arm then?" Charlotte swallowed hard. "Yes, sir." "How long were you employed there?" he asked. 13 months, she said, almost spitting out the words. He asked her about the confrontation she and Catherine had had with Mr. Reed. "Did you have your arm then?" "No, sir," she replied bluntly. "What did Mr. Reed say?" "Mr. Reed," said Charlotte, her eyes burning angrily, "said he didn't think there was any such thing as radium poisoning." She testified the loss of her arm was due to the poisonous compound used. One by one, Grossman called the girls to give evidence, which they did sitting alongside the lawyers at the Donahue's dining table. Marie Rossiter clenched and unclenched her fingers as she reported what had gone on. "Mr. Reed said radium would put rosy cheeks on us," she remembered in disgust, "that it was good for us." Grossman asked each of them in turn if the painting demonstrations had been an accurate reenactment of the technique they'd been taught. Like a row of doppelgangers, each nodded her head. All the women testified on Catherine's behalf. Pearl Payne, the Gluchinsky sisters, Olive Witt and Helen Monk too. As each woman stood up, literally and figuratively, for her friend, she was mirrored by Arthur Madgett, who continually objected to their evidence. Tom Donahue spoke only briefly to confirm the calamitous amount of debt that he and Catherine were in due to her medical bills. Throughout it all, Catherine herself lay dumbly on the sofa, sometimes dozing to the lullaby of her friends' voices as they lilted around her. At last, it came to an end. Across the 2 days, 14 witnesses had given evidence for Catherine. Now, Grossman rested his case, and everyone turned expectantly to Arthur Madgett. But the company lawyer presented no evidence and called not a single witness. The firm was standing solely on its legal defence that radium was not poisonous. With no further evidence to hear, shortly after 1 p.m. Marvel formally closed the hearing. He would, he said, give his verdict in a month or so. Before then, both sides would have opportunity to submit complex written legal briefs which would set out their arguments in full. There was just one final element to the proceedings, an opportunity that the gathered reporters would never have let pass them by. Before the throng of people departed from the Donahue home, the media requested a photo call. George Marvel and Arthur Madgett both moved behind the sofa as Grossman knelt beside Catherine. A cigar was already between his fingers now that the case was at rest.